Good morning, everybody. This spring weather, well, maybe people didn't set their clocks, I don't know, but
I didn't.
But you're still here, June.
Yeah, but I got all the clocks off and stuff.
Well, I sleep with my window up just a little bit, so the birds have been waking me up. I hear them in the morning, and that's kind of nice.
That's a good sound.
Yeah, well, and then I don't know if anybody else noticed it. When we left here Thursday night from Bible study, did you hear the peepers?
Yes.
Oh, they were loud.
Yeah, up here.
Yeah. So then I'm generally not out after dark. I'm generally not out after dark, but then the next evening, I don't even know where I'd been, but I come in and I heard them again. And I thought, wow, yeah, it's that time of year.
That's, and the night crawlers are everywhere.
Oh, my driveway is polluted.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Out there.
Oh yeah.
You can smell them. Yeah, it was going everywhere. Yeah, the dogs definitely.
Okay, so this morning our lesson is the way of the Lord is just. Now, what is another word for just?
Fair.
Fair. And there, I don't know that anybody can doubt that the Lord is fair. He gives us every opportunity that we can to get ourselves straightened out. But let's ask him to guide us here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, dear Lord, and we thank you for this lesson that you've put in front of us. We pray that we'll be able to understand what it is that is expected of us, dear Lord, and we know that we depend on your mercy to get us through. Guide us, direct us, and we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so we are still in the book of Ezekiel, which we were in last week. And Ezekiel's book is divided up into like three parts. But the part that we're in now is the last part of Ezekiel, and it is a message of hope. We know that they are in captivity in Babylon. Last week we studied that Jerusalem was about to be destroyed. That's what he was prophesying about. Well, this week he is telling them that, hey, I got good news for you. You know, I've got good news. So the lesson starts out, therefore. Whenever they start out, therefore, that means you got to go back and see what happened before. So if you go back to those first 12 verses of that book, he has called Ezekiel to be a watchman. Watchman. Do you know what a watchman is?
Kind of like a shepherd.
Okay.
Sentry. For things that happen.
Sentry. Okay. There's someone that is looking for signs of danger.
Yes.
Signs of things that are going to go wrong. That's a watchman. Now, that's a pretty big job, isn't it? To watch over things, to be able to recognize when things are going to happen. So he appointed Ezekiel a watchman, and then he goes on to tell him, this is what I need you to tell the people. He says, oh, son of man, he said, this is the message I need you to relay to them. And the first part of this is the divine monologue. Well, monologue means that just one person is speaking. So this is the message that's coming from God, and it's just one. And then the second part of this is the divine dialogue. A dialogue means it's going back and forth. It's going back and forth. So there's actually two people involved in that. If somebody would just read the first verse, Ezekiel 33:12.
Children of thy people, the righteousness.
Okay. So he says, therefore, which I said, referred back to the first part of the book. But then he calls him what? Thou son of man. And during the book of Ezekiel, God referred to him as son of man 93 times. So he spoke to Ezekiel quite a bit. Ezekiel got quite a few messages from him. And he's telling them that this message is for who? Thy people.
Oh, yeah, the people.
And thy people are who?
Us.
Believers.
Yeah.
He's telling them that this is a message for the believers. And he's telling them that the righteousness of the righteous will not deliver them in the day of their transgression. Meaning what?
Just because they've done good in the past.
It won't make up for everything you've done in the future. How many times have we talked about that here, that when someone is saved and they go out and just keep on sinning? That's not a good thing. When you are saved, you repented, there should be a change of heart. Mm-hmm. And that heart should not permit you to do bad things again. So he's telling them that even though you've been good, if you transgress,
you got to ask forgiveness.
You got to ask forgiveness. That's right. You got to ask forgiveness. And we depend on what to get that forgiveness? We depend on God's mercy.
Yes.
We are all at his mercy. Then also he says, the wicked. He talks about the wicked. He said, they will not fall in the day that they're judged. If what?
If they repent and become righteous.
Right. If they have repented and turned to righteousness, then they will not die. Which goes on and tells us here that the wages of sin are death.
And you know, we discussed that, and there's been a lot of some people say, you know, you don't keep sinning.
No.
And that other people say,
okay, well, all right, let's go a little further. Who is the... This is in Jesus' time, but who was the perfect example of someone that was forgiven right at the end?
The thief on the cross.
Now, there is no indication that that fella had ever known anything about God or Jesus, particularly at that time. But hanging on the cross with him, he recognized and he said, what? Thou art the Son of God. This thief, who had no background, recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. So, I mean, it happens. We know it happens. But that's what he's trying to get across here is that if you are wicked, and you turn from your wickedness and you repent and you're saved, that wickedness is not remembered anymore. Have you heard this little story about someone that died and they're in the at the pearly gates? So everybody has a file cabinet and your name is on your cabinet and it's supposed to have your sins in there. Well, this guy died. He found the cabinet, he found the drawer with his name on it, and he opened it, and there was nothing in there. And he's thinking to himself, now, I know that I have sinned. And then St. Peter, or whoever it was that was there, said, yes, but Jesus Christ took that sin away for you. So it's no longer there. It's no longer remembered.
Yes.
So that's a really good story. Anyway. All right. Just because he says, if you do something wrong and I forgive you, does that give you a lesson just to keep, or give you, does that give you a license to keep on doing wrong? No. Repentance is a change of heart. And our heart, Tabitha is fighting because her heart right now is diseased. It's sick. And she needs that heart to be healed. Well, she needs it to be healed in more ways than one. But when you've got a disease of the heart, and Sonny, he's had to have the defibrillator. His heart wasn't good. Your heart controls your whole body. That's the way it was designed. So that is why your soul is in your heart. Because that's what controls the body. And God wants us to know that that's where all of our actions stem from. It stems from our heart. And it can be either good or bad. Okay. Have you ever heard of righteous anger?
Yes.
Sure. And there are things that go, I kept going to this, and Jody and I have been talking, driving. You just, I mean, road, I'm not going to say road rage, but there are just things that happen when you're driving that you think, how did that idiot ever get a license? And but there you are out in the midst of them, and you're at their mercy. Because if they do something wrong and they're close to you, it could affect you in a really big way, cause an accident. So I think sometimes when you're angry, and you're angry at that person, you have no idea who it is, let's just say. Is anything ever going to happen about that? Probably not. But why is it righteous? Why is God righteous in his anger toward us? He's laid out the plan. He's given us everything. And if you can't follow me, if you can't do as I say or follow the plan that I've set out for you, then I'm going to judge you. So he's righteous. He's righteous in that anger. All right. Well, somebody read the next verse then. Verse 13.
When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered, but because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die.
Okay. Well, this is especially true with kids. You know, kids can be good for so long, and then it just seems like they snap, you know, and do things wrong. But what he's telling us here is at the time that of judgment, if you are sinning at that time, you're going to die. And what kind of death is he talking about here? He's not talking about a physical death.
Eternal death.
Eternal death. Your spiritual death. Your spiritual death is what he's talking about. So, and he says all of this good stuff that you've done before this, if you are in a sinful state at the time that your life here is over, then you're going to be judged. And not only is your life here going to end, but your spiritual life will end as well.
And they're talking about the unbelievers.
Yeah. Well, no, this is belief.
This is righteous.
Well, see, this
can be righteous and do good works and not be saved. They'll repent and they will be asking, even if we sin every day, mm-hmm. you know, we sin and that's just sin, they say, you know. So we do sin every day. But a believer will be the ones that repent.
They have that moral compass, don't
yes.
they? Like I said,
I mean, an unbeliever, they're not all wicked. They do righteous acts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can't stand all those works.
No. Right, right.
But there are some believers that sin and don't ask for forgiveness every day.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of stockpile and say, oh, okay, by the way, Lord, forgive me for everything I've done this past week.
Well, okay, I'll throw this out there. This came up in Bible study Thursday evening. The lady said, okay, when I say my prayers at night before I go to bed and I ask God to forgive me of my sins, she said, is that right? Because according to someone, the Holy Spirit, if you've been saved, the Holy Spirit is living inside you, and the Holy Spirit cannot sin. So if the Holy Spirit cannot sin and you're saved, then why do you ask daily to be forgiven of your sins? Anybody? Anybody? No. That's very deep. The Holy Spirit cannot sin, but fleshly man can. So it's our flesh that we ask God. Even in our hearts, when we do something, our heart, the soul that's in our heart, tells us that it's wrong. But sometimes the flesh is overpowering and it takes over. And that's why we ask for forgiveness daily. That's why we're so different Christ never sinned because he was not born of man. But born of man, we have that tendency. Is just obeying the commandments enough?
No.
Okay. No. There's more to it than that, isn't there? We have people here that it says, if all your righteousness shall not be remembered, but in his iniquity he hath committed, he shall die for it. I think Susie said, all of the good things that you've done up to this time, and if you have committed a sin right before your physical life is taken, you're going to be judged for that. All of that good stuff that you've done before will not matter. That's why we cannot go a minute without being in tune with God and being and walking in his way. Because we never know when that minute's, when our time's up. Okay. We've talked about this before too. It's our choice, isn't it? No, Jesus could have said, everybody serve me, and that would have been it. It would have been over. But they don't, God didn't do that. He gives everybody a choice. Now, his preferred outcome is that you all choose him, that everyone choose him. Why do you think that, you know, there were people when Christ was crucified, and even when he rose from the dead, before he ascended, he said, some of you will not see death until I come again. So they were all expecting it to happen in their lifetime. Well, here some 2,000 years later, we're still waiting. Do you think people are getting a little weary? Thinking, well, it's taken this long. It's probably not going to happen for a while. So let's just go on and live and let the pieces fall where they may. But that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to choose him. And the reason, I believe this, and probably most of you do too, if you think about it, the reason that he has not come again is because there is so much evil in the world. And he wants everyone possibly that can be saved to be saved. It's not his desire that any be lost. It's not his desire for any of this stuff to go on, that you be eternally damned because you've sinned. That's not what he wants. He wants everybody with him, and the time has not come yet. And we will know that this Ezekiel, he was appointed to watch for this. And what was, as him being appointed the watchman, if he didn't do his job, okay, if he didn't warn the people, then it was bad for him if he didn't warn them. And are we all watchmen?
Yes.
To a certain extent, we are, aren't we? Yes. We should be out there warning people, yes, this is going to happen.
How many times have you heard people say, oh, I've heard that forever, that Jesus is coming back soon, and, you know, it's been, I've heard it for 50 years.
Right.
And that's why I make sure.
Right. That's right. Nobody is. It could happen today. I mean, it could happen before we leave here. We just don't know. But we have to be ready. Okay. All right. How about somebody read 14 through 16? And that is the formerly wicked. About the formerly wicked.
Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from me.
That is a good message, isn't it? Yeah. He says, okay, he's going on and telling them here, doing what's lawful and right. What does it mean to restore the pledge? What's a pledge?
It's
a commitment. Okay, so back in those days, if you wanted to borrow something from someone, you would have to pledge something to them. And one of the stories I read was that you pledge your coat to get something from somebody, to borrow something from them. But what he's saying here, if someone has pledged his coat to you and it's going to be cold, you need to give that coat back to him so he can protect himself. You need to return that pledge to that person so that he can be protected. And he says, if you have robbed somebody, what? You got to give it back. You got to give it back. You got to restore that. And the statutes of life. What are the statutes of life? That's our moral compass. To know, to do morally right and not. So what do our morals do? That moral compass is inside of us. It determines what's right and what's wrong. And a compass is always, should be always headed due north, straight up. So our mind should be on God, right? That's our moral compass. And it should control all of our actions.
And if you keep doing what you know is wrong, pretty soon.
Out of tune, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Well, that's in the Bible too. To know to do right and not to do it is as much a sin as
actually doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, then he goes on to tell, that's the wicked. Okay, he says, so if you do all of this stuff, if you restore the pledge, if you return everything that was robbed, if you have this, if you walk by the, live by this moral compass, none of those sins will be mentioned. The little story I told you about the, everybody's got a file cabinet in heaven. Your file cabinet will be emptied. It will not be mentioned again. Now, we've talked about this. Forgive and forget. Forgiveness is probably, we can all achieve that. But forgetting is the hard part. And we have to be constant in constant tune with God in order to be able to forget the wrongs that have been committed, or even maybe the wrongs that we've done. We had this lesson years ago, and it's one of the things about forgiveness is when you forgive somebody, you have to agree never to bring it up again. So if you agree never to bring it up again, that means you've forgotten it. So forgiveness is a whole thing about forgiveness is forgetting. Okay.
It's like we told Jim, we were talking about, it's like a suitcase that's packed. Once you forgive them, then you let go. Mm-hmm. You empty your suitcase and you never think of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's forgiving.
Yeah. Okay, not even the worst sin or action can permanently put someone on the path of death. The wicked are always free to repent of former behavior and turn to the statutes of life because what? God has promised them that He will forgive them and wipe it away. Okay. So now we're into the divine dialogue. This is a conversation between the two. If somebody will read just the first verse, 17.
Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord.
Yeah, okay. Children say. Now, what do we know about children?
That ain't fair.
Ah, everybody, that ain't fair. He did this and I didn't know.
Let me read the New King James. It says,
okay.
The children of your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair, but it is their way, which is not fair.
Yeah. It is really hard to be human. It is hard for humans to always do the right thing, to always treat, the old woman in the shoe had 9 kids, or what is it, 9 kids? They said, which one do you love the most? She said, well, when this one is sick, I love him. When this one is hurting, I love him. When this one is hungry, I love him. And all goes down, all of the things that a person needs, and, you know, you there, you show them love when they're in their deepest part of need. And that's what God does to us. He shows us love when we're in our deepest part of need. But he's also saying, now he's saying the children, so he's talking about man. The man says the Lord is not fair. Why would they not think that the Lord is fair?
Because they didn't get their way.
They didn't get their way, but you've known people.
Somebody was forgiven because they were, if I'm righteous and I'm going to get down here to the end and then I'm not forgiven just because I sin, and then you turn around and you they said, that's not fair.
That's not fair. Yeah.
And it's kind of like the guy that hired
the workers,
early in the morning and hired people all through the day, and they all got the same wage.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah. Yeah.
Those guys were saying, that ain't fair.
That's not fair. That's not fair. Why do we cry out for equality?
With benefit.
Because that's the human side of us. That is the fleshly, worldly side of us.
I mean, if you agree to work for somebody for a certain
thing, mm-hmm.
that don't mean that the next person is getting the
yeah.
In a way, it doesn't sound fair.
You agreed to it. That's right. We all can't see the end, can we? We're just in the here and now. So it says, these people are crying out, saying that the Lord is not fair. But he's saying their way, the people's way, is not fair. Why would me, as a believer, regret that God is going to forgive somebody that has been a sinner right up to the end of their life and then ask for repentance? Is that any skin off my nose?
No.
So why do I feel that way?
Because we have been good and followed Christ and tried to do what he wants us to do for a lot longer.
Right.
But if you think about it,
that's the human.
If you think about it, though, and you are saved, I think about all the peace that God has given me for and I would just be happy.
Wouldn't trade places with them, would you?
No.
And how many times when we hear of somebody that either is a family member or somebody that is a close friend or a good neighbor and accept Christ, the joy that we feel for them, because we know that we're going to see them again.
Well, how about the lost sheep? The parable of the lost sheep.
Yeah.
He left the 99 that was safe to go after the one that was lost.
Right.
I mean, that's the best lesson right there that you need. Okay, so next we're going to have, that was the accusation. So next we're going to have the response, 18 and 19, somebody.
When the righteous turneth from the righteousness and committeth iniquity, he knows that which is lawful and right,
so he's saying there's really no difference between the two. Wickedness, righteousness. It all depends on where you are at the end of your life. And it should be everyone's goal to be righteous. But what happens? Life happens. There are things that happen around us. It depends. It could depend on governments. It could depend on just communities. There's different things that go on that we have no control over, but they have a major control over us. And I would say, as a fleshly mortal, the hardest thing that we do is cede control of ourselves to someone else. But that's what God wants us to do. We have to cede control of our life to him. If we don't, we're going to be lost. And then verse 20 says, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. Everyone, that means all. I'm going to judge you all for what you've done, not for what somebody else has done.
Everyone, individually.
All right.
As individuals, he doesn't lump us all in with one country, it's our own self.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take care of ourselves and our own.
Okay. We do not have any righteousness of our own apart from the grace that God gives us. We can't do anything without him. There was one other thing here that I thought was pretty good too. Ezekiel, we're in his book here. He was a priest. So he probably enjoyed a fine education. He and his family likely had some part to do with the governance of the capital city. He was intelligent and influential. And what do we know about the people that God chooses? He chooses the ones that can, he sees the qualities in them that can best, right, that can best spread his message and get it to the cross. So this was 600 years before Christ. When Ezekiel was prophesying this, it was 600 years before Christ came, walked among the people. Anybody have any questions or comments? These are all good lessons. I mean, we're still talking about the fairness or the justness of God, God's wrath. Okay. Golden text. Yet the children of your people say the way of the Lord is not fair, but it is their way which is not fair. Which he's saying to us, you can't be a judge. You're not impartial. Yeah. I am impartial. Yeah. All right. Practical points.
Christians cannot depend on past deeds to justice of evils.
To understand God's justice, they are in a wrong.
I told you years ago, Brenda Corder got me this little thing for Christmas. And it's a little, I have it sitting on my mantle at home, but it says, please, Lord, not what I deserve. So I look at that every once in a while and thinking, yep, please, Lord.